But I want to look at AI. And I want to look at, again, something where you have individuals who have done something that they should have known was wrong. So you can argue, oh, it's just kids being kids. No. No, it isn't. Because not every kid is doing this. So last week, we had the London District Catholic School Board showing a copy of a letter that went out to the community of St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Secondary School that discussed a, quote, disturbing situation impacting some of its students involving the distribution of fake nude photos. So in the letter, they said that over the last several days, some of our students' pictures have been copied from their social media sites and then altered using AI to make the students appear naked. And then the photos were distributed through group chats. Challenging, difficult situation, it described, for our young students, can have lasting adverse effects for them. The creation and distribution of this material could result in disciplinary measures. The London Police Service confirmed to Global News it's aware of the incident, it's investigating, it didn't provide any further details at the time, and it has not provided any further details since. But we wanted to have the conversation about this. Dr. Caitlin Mendez is an associate professor of sociology at Western University and also the Canada Research Chair in Inequality and Gender. And you want to believe that when technology introduces something new, that will make our lives better. But there's always the other side to it. AI, in this case, can be a powerful tool for good. But as we found out just days ago with the story of these students, it can also be used for very nefarious means as well.
Well, I think for many people, actually, this wasn't really that surprising. If we think about how, you know, sex is very popular, if we think about kind of the whole use of the internet, sex and porn are just like absolutely take up a lot of space. So when we have these new kind of AI technologies, and if you think of what can it do, I think it isn't really that big of a surprise for many of us that people are using it to generate these deep fake nudes.
And that's the scary part, because people are having nudes created that aren't just some fictional human. These are real people.
100%. And I think what's really scary is just how easy it is to make them. You no longer have to be a programmer or a graphic designer. You don't really have to have any tech skills. You download an app and you can generate these images. And you don't need that many images from, you know, a victim to be able to create these deep fake nudes. So I think that also is quite scary. We can really think of like invasion of privacy, invasion of other rights, and just how easily accessible it is. And again, you know, if we think of like teens, you don't have to be a real tech wizard to be able to make these things.
Yeah, and there's the scary part. So conversations, obviously, between parents and their teens can help, but those are going to be difficult conversations. You certainly have looked into sexual violence as it pertains to technology. We're there, aren't we?
We're 100% there. And we've actually been there for quite a while. So, you know, right now we're seeing this spike in people creating these deep fake nude images. But we're also, for many years, we've seen people sending other people unsolicited sexual images. So we can think of this as cyber flashing, right? We can think of if you were to stand on the street and expose yourself to someone, we'd understand that as a form of flashing of sexual violence. Well, this has been happening online for a long time, too. It's very easy to send naked pictures of yourself to other people who don't want it. And again, I think we should think of that as a form of harassment. We can think of the way that technologies are being used to survey and stalk other people. Really popular apps like Snapchat, your geolocation, you're sharing your location with other people all the time. So I think, you know, there are lots of different ways that these apps and technologies are being used to stalk and harass other people.
We're talking right now with Dr. Caitlin Mendez, who is an associate professor in the Department of Sociology at Western, also the Canada Research Chair in Inequality and Gender. So when it comes to as simple as it might be, some app that helps you to do this or some basic knowledge that helps you to do this, we know that it's going on, but what do we know about how it's being treated? Do you hear anything from people that say, okay, well, we need something. We need, whether it's a symposium or we need this, we need some sort of regulation. Is that conversation happening?
Yeah, there's lots of different conversations. And I think there isn't just going to be one simple solution. So laws are definitely one conversation that's being had. And there are some provinces that have introduced laws that stop people from making these kinds of content. In fact, recently, a lot of provinces have introduced laws around non-consensual sharing of intimate images. So if someone sends me a nude image consensually, I'm not allowed to share that without their consent. And so some of these provinces are actually writing in deep fakes as part of those laws. And I think that's an important step. There's lots of conversations about education, about how we need to be talking to young people about these practices and why they're wrong, about why they violate people's privacy and bodily autonomy and sexual integrity. So there's definitely policies that we need. There's laws that we need. There's education that we need. And I think it's going to take a long time to really kind of solve this issue. And especially when it comes to laws, because this is, you know, these deep fake news in particular are such a gray area. It's not quite clear whether they're breaking laws or what the laws are. So I think there's going to be a lot more to come and a lot more development in this area.
Yeah, you're dealing with things that if we went back, I don't know how many years now, but it's not very far, and you use the term deep fake nude, you'd be saying it to somebody for the first time. It just wasn't a thing.
That's right. And it feels, I think for the public, it feels like this has come on quite quickly, although the technology has been there for some time. But again, just with AI, the technology has just become so much more user-friendly. And I think that's what's really concerning.
We are talking right now with Dr. Caitlin Mendez, Associate Professor of Sociology at Western University and the Canada Research Chair in Inequality and Gender. And one of the things that we also deal with is misinformation. So if you were to ask young people, what can you do, what can you not do? How many of them would have the right answers? But I want to finish out our conversation with Dr. Caitlin Mendez, because this is largely a respect factor. When we go back a few days ago, and the copy of the letter that was sent out from the London District Catholic School Board because some fake deep nudes were created. Pictures of students were taken from their social media, and pictures were created that I'm sure they never dreamed would be created. And so one of the things that we talked with Dr. Caitlin Mendez about, and again, Dr. Mendez is an associate professor in sociology at Western University, one of the things we asked her about was what young people know. Is this a case where they need to know more? Do they know enough about what the consequences are in all of this, as far as something as simple as what can I or can't I have on my phone?
Well, I can actually give you a little bit of insight on that, because I do go around Canada in my research and I do talk to teenagers, and there's a lot of misconceptions about the law. A lot of the ideas that young Canadians have about the laws are just wrong, and in part because they watch a lot of American TV or British TV. So they have this idea of what the laws are, and actually a lot of those ideas are not correct. So I can also tell you, though, young people are allowed to take intimate images of themselves. That's not against the law. So, you know, young people often tell us that, oh, if I do take a nude image of myself, I'm going to be charged with creating child pornography. That's actually not a crime if you're taking this image of yourself for yourself. Teenagers are also allowed to share these intimate images with other partners consensually. So if you're like 14, 15, as long as it constitutes other legal sexual activities, you can share it with another teenager who's close in age, and you're not going to be charged with distributing child pornography, or if you have someone else's intimate image, you're not going to be charged with possessing child pornography. It's if, say, you're 14 or 15 and you're sharing it with an adult, if there's coercion, that's when it falls under the child pornography laws. But there are these exemptions within Canadian legal system that says that young people are actually allowed to trade nude images as long as, you know, the context of the relationship falls within, you know, what's under the law as legal sexual relationship. So that's one misconception. Young people tell us all the time that, you know, they think they're going to be charged with child porn for consensually sharing nude images with other teens. That's actually not the case.
That's somehow that's unnerving. If you think about parents right now, they might be hearing that and thinking, I kind of liked it the other way when I thought it was the other thing. We are talking right now with Dr. Caitlin Mendez, associate professor in the Department of Sociology at Western University and also the Canada Research Chair in Inequality and Gender. I guess as a final note, when we talk about where this goes, who does this fall to? Does it fall to everybody? Do we have to go to legislators? Is that kind of putting rules in a book that very few people will read? Is it parents? I mean, it seems
to be
deficiencies. Yeah, we've got deficiencies in each of those categories.
Yeah, it's all of the above. As a society, we need to understand the harms of creating deep fake nudes of other people. We need to understand why it's harmful, why it violates that person's sexual autonomy, bodily autonomy, potentially their privacy. And we need to know that it's wrong for those reasons. We need laws on the books because fundamentally some people are always going to push the boundaries. And we need laws as a society to kind of say where the boundaries are. Parents 100% have a really big role to play, I believe. Although I recognize talking about sex and talking about this kind of content is deeply uncomfortable for some parents. But I do think it's a really important part of young people's general sex education, and not talking about it isn't going to make the problem go away. So how to kind of have opportunities to talk to young people about what would you do if this happened to you? Do you know where you could go for support? There are lots of places for support. If these images are posted online, there are places you can go to get these images removed. Places like Project Arachnid, which will tag the image. And anytime anybody tries to upload that image, it will automatically delete it. Do you know if it violates laws, if that's something that you do want to kind of go down that route? So I think that those are really, really important conversations to have. And I think there's a lot of educating that we all need to do to find out what are the relevant laws and supports and places where we can go to just get some of the answers to these questions. So parents, there's websites like techsafety.ca, a website that my research team runs called DIY digitalsafety.ca. We have lots of resources there. So there are lots of great places that people can go to if they want more information on this topic.
Well, you've done such a great job educating us this afternoon. And like you say, there is so much more and so many more resources. Dr. Mendez, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Caitlin Mendez, associate professor in the Department of Sociology at Western University. Dr. Mendez is also the Canada Research Chair in Inequality and Gender. So this does come back to that same undertone that we've had throughout the show with a lot of our conversations. It is a respect thing. It's an ability to say, to have what we used to call common sense, to say, you know, if I'm taking the picture of someone in my school and I'm creating a picture that they would never have posed for and I'm sending it out there, that's wrong. So I shouldn't do that. If I am sick of being in traffic and I'm going to pull off the road and drive through a farmer's field because I think I can get home faster, I should be able to do that. Got a great text, and it says, the unwritten rules of the world don't exist anymore. Whether it's at work, it says apprentices respecting the journey person, or the no back checking in old timers hockey. The everyone wins, the I deserve what the person who has worked 35 years gets, even though I've been here a year mentality, is really what is ruining everything. And people want these people to become tradespeople. We actually get kids who say they can't start before 12 p.m. because they like to stay up and play video games, or they don't like driving in the dark. Yeah, and somehow this is what we're churning out more and more, and somehow this is acceptable, and that's a real issue. I want to continue this conversation in a moment. What are you dealing with in your life that you wish you could just say, hey, you know what would fix this? A good boatload of respect each other. That's what would fix this. 519-643-2222. We'll continue to weigh in on this. And who is responsible for creating more respect for teaching those things. Because a lot of times, by the time kids get into school, if that foundation's not there, it's hard to put it there, especially with a lot of the restrictions that educators have right now. And the alternative is something that no one wants to talk about, which is to give more power to students. But then you would have, what, how many lawsuits would we have from parents who believe that their child can do no wrong? Oh, that authority figure is causing you a problem, whereas it used to be the other way around. That's where the flip really, really happened. And that's where concerns that we're talking about on this show today really began, in my opinion.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.